Good afternoon, everyone. This is my second episode so far of podcasting, and I've found it to be very relaxing and enjoyable. So maybe I will continue doing this. We'll see. For this episode, I kind of wanted to just talk about how I came to this point, going into more detail about my spiritual journey, all the ups and downs, and maybe some of you out there can relate. So just sit back and enjoy this podcast, because it's going to be kind of long. So from the beginning, I was raised to believe in Jesus. My father was a Baptist, and we did attend a very tiny, tiny little church. That was about a 30-minute drive from our home. My mother was, I guess, just a Christian. She wasn't hardcore about it. She was more of the, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but that's it. That's the extent. All of my siblings got baptized, I guess because she wanted them to go to heaven. And they're all older than me. I'm about to be 28. And they're over 40. So this was quite some time before I was born. But I used to attend this Baptist church with my dad, and it was uncomfortable because I had to wear Sunday dresses, and the chairs were very itchy on my butt, and I just hated it. So I would attend this church for a while. Sometimes I would play sick so that I would stay home and sleep in. I'm not sure how old I was at the time. I was in elementary school, but eventually my father just stopped taking me. We weren't really the overly religious type of family, but he was very insistent, or something. What's the word? I can't think of the word. He wasn't like hardcore serious about Jesus, but it was a very serious thing that I believed in Jesus, or that I had to believe in Jesus. And I remember we would pray every night together. I suppose he was the only one who really made religion important in our home. So we would pray every night before I slept, and then I remember just not doing it with him anymore, not praying. It's probably because, you know, I got older and all that stuff. But I do remember one point in my life where they told me not to say, "Oh my God." And of course, you know, little kids, they pick up stuff here and there from other kids at school. And then I was very influential. Is that the right word? I don't know. I'm not thinking of correct words currently. I don't know. But, like, I would pick up words and then I would come home and say it. So I would say, "Oh my God." And I remember one of my friends said that term. She said, "Oh my God," during recess. And I said, "Don't say that." And she said, "Why not?" And I said, "Because that means Jesus is going to come down and see if you need help." And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, that is so stupid. But that's what I really believed. And, you know, for you parents out there, you really have to teach your kids facts and not fiction, okay? I mean, kids can believe anything. Jesus never came down from heaven. And I kept saying it just to see if it was true. And then I found out myself, wait, this isn't true. So I started saying, "Oh my God," whenever my parents weren't around. I mean, I think lying to your kids is really terrible. It's a terrible thing to do. Just tell them straight up. Like, if you're someone who believes in stuff like that, don't make up stuff. Okay, just tell them the stuff that's straight out of your sacred text or whatever, but don't add anything to it. Obviously, it's like telling kids there's a Santa Claus. I found out for myself there was no Santa Claus, or there's no tooth fairy. But then again, that's just me. I definitely will not tell my kids there's anything like that, but whatever. Back to the point. My memory's kind of blurred for a while in there. I know that I really got into the occult stuff. I got into the conspiracy kind of stuff. I remember doing Reiki back when I was a kid. Energy type of work, you know, the energy balls you create with your hands, that kind of stuff. I remember, because my mom wasn't so strict in her belief, then she would kind of participate. And my mom's Korean, so where she's from, they kind of did that stuff. So I remember building like fairy houses with her outside and doing spells and talking to the rain, all that stuff, that witchy kind of stuff I did. So I hit high school. Okay, there's a huge time jump because my memory's kind of blah right now, and it's hazy in that area. But I remember getting depressed and feeling very lost and lonely, and all that stuff that comes with depression. Cried myself to sleep all the time. I cut myself. And then one day, boom, I found religion. So how that happened was, I started going to New Market, and it's like not an alternative school, but it was like a place where the smarties went. to learn some extra stuff. So basically, I went to high school and then during my early years, I kind of had a head start, I guess. So I went to make video games at this other school. It was like a tech school called New Market. And there was other types of courses there, culinary or whatever. But my thing was video games. So I would go there to make video games. Anyway, a friend of mine gave me a New Testament in like a magazine form, because you know that's what all the cool Christian kids read. They read the Bible in magazine form. But then I read it through a couple days. I gave it back and I was like, wow, I really want to learn about this religion some more, because it was a religion I grew up with. Just sort of a cooler take on it, I guess. More easier to understand. Because, you know, King James is very archaic. And this prompted me to do more searching. I joined the local, the school Christian club. And I made some friends there. And then I, in religious terms, I was on fire for God. So I really found something to keep me going. And that it gave me meaning and purpose in life. And maybe some people out there would be like, wow, that's so great though. You know, you have purpose and you have meaning. And I would say, right, exactly. You need to find your purpose and your meaning. But if you're looking toward an external source to give you that purpose and meaning, what happens when that external source turns out to be fake or false, not true? I based over a decade of my life on something that was not true. And because I was so emotionally connected to the religion of Christianity, when I found out that Jesus was not the Messiah, it completely destroyed me. It completely, like, the rug was swept out from under my feet and I had no foundation anymore. So I'm kind of jumping the gun here. Going back to my evangelistic days, I really enjoyed it, to be honest. My debating skills leveled up to 100 because of that, and I don't regret that for one bit. I became the best debater ever. The best apologist ever. And I say that with pride. I wrote papers on this. I debated Mormons. I debated Jehovah's Witnesses. I debated my brother. And he was a Christian too. But we would enjoy these debates on, you know, whether or not I should be vegan, or whether or not Paul was still a Jew. And all this stuff. And it was enjoyable for me. At the same time, I was so, quote unquote, on fire for God that I became this, I changed. Certain music I didn't listen to anymore because it was devil music. My whole perception, my worldview changed, and I became very delusional, but at the same time, I became very well, yeah, I became righteous in a way, but I also, in a weird way, I understood what it meant to have integrity. And I'm still kind of that way. I'm that kind of person that says, if you believe something, then you need to put your all into it. Don't be this fake kind of person. And, you know, if you believe the Bible is true, then live your life accordingly. And I still feel that way. Like, if I don't believe the Bible is true anymore at all. But I will still hold you accountable because you claim to believe it's true. I don't know. That's just me. I prefer people with integrity, with honesty, and I don't like wishy-washy people. I don't like people who say they do this and then they go do. I don't like hypocrites. And I just don't care for those kinds of people. And if you F up, then admit you F up. I mean, it's not that hard, is it? I don't know. Like, if I screw up stuff, I will admit that I screw up. But that's what I got from Christianity. And I still hold to that. And obviously, you don't need to be a Christian to, or you don't even have to be religious to get this understanding, but it took that. That's what I took from it. So, that was the majority of my high school days, being like that. I influenced my family so much. They practically look to me as their teacher now. They have been for the past several years. I taught them a lot about the Bible, about their own religion that they claim to believe in, that they didn't even know. And as time went on, I found out more and more stuff that did not align with what Christianity itself was teaching. I found out about the Hebrew Roots movement, the Messianic movement, and if you don't know what that is, it's basically wannabe Jews. People who dress like Jews, they keep kosher, then they try to keep the 613 commandments to the best of their ability. Essentially, the Old Testament is still in effect. It was never nulled out. It was never done away with by Jesus. And the evidence at that time showed me that it was true. So I jumped on that train. And I liked it, but at the same time, again, I got into this, you know, integrity mode where I was showing my family more of this stuff. And of course, my brother disagreed with me because he's just, you know, regular Christian. And here I am now, a Messianic Jew, what I called myself, that we would go in debates back and forth. I would show him the evidence that I see. I would show my dad and my mom this stuff, and then they would be persuaded. They actually stopped celebrating Christmas because of me. I stopped celebrating Christmas and all the other pagan holidays, so. And then I got a bit deeper into it, and I came across, well, I fell into a cult. I let myself be brainwashed to that extent. As around this time, I started dressing more modestly with the skirts and the head covering. Nothing wrong with the head covering, by the way. I still like head coverings. I think they are amazing. And they just give off this beauty. But subjective, anyway. I wore it because at the time I thought that's what God wanted me to do. And I came across the people who were actually Jewish, I believe. I actually think they were. They were Jewish. Maybe Sephardic and Ashkenazi. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure they were actually Jewish, or at least part Jewish. But they believed Jesus, and they dressed like they were Jews. The guy called himself Rabbi. I started calling the rabbi's wife Ima, and Ima in Hebrew means mother. And it was a very small congregation, online too. But even if it was online, it was still a cult, and it really doesn't matter if it's in person or not. The emotional entrapment was real. So, I learned how to read Hebrew. I learned how to speak Hebrew. So, I'm not fluent, but I can speak a little bit. And then they were talking about having, like, a compound and buying land and all this junk, and they wanted money. Obviously, I didn't have a job at the time, but this is after high school. I was still living with my parents. Maybe I was 20 something, I don't know. But for sure, I graduated, and so then my husband at the time was also in this cult thing, but we were just boyfriend girlfriend at that time, and a lot of drama went down, and the rabbi's wife wanted me to marry her son, and this is a lot of stuff. So I pulled myself away from that, and I started questioning Jesus, or I started questioning the religion first. You know, is this even real? Like, is this true? And then I kind of went towards the Jewish route, like Judaism. Oh, wait, before this part, I did kind of look into Islam, and then I was kind of, you know, dancing around Islam for a bit, but I was never committed to the religion, so then I moved to Judaism, and I looked up Jews for Judaism, and their arguments were very solid, very sound, and I mean, to be honest, even right to this day, like, if I had to choose one religion or another, I would choose Judaism without a doubt, because the arguments and the proof just from the Old Testament says that Christianity is a sham, and Jesus is not the Messiah. You can look into the Hebrew words themselves, and that's what I did. I looked into the Hebrew straight from the Bible, did not match up with what Christianity was interpreting it to be. So, I was about 80% convinced, but then we have the dilemma of Jesus. And so, you know, I was looking into the prophecies, and the Hebrew word for the virgin birth in Isaiah. It didn't even say virgin. It just said young woman. And yet here we have in Matthew's talking about, you know, referencing Isaiah, saying a virgin will conceive. And I'm looking at these two passages and I'm like, it's totally not the same word at all. Not even the right Greek word. Not even the right Hebrew word. What is going on? And at that moment, I fell apart. Because, like I said, there was so much emotionalism connected to this purpose that I had, this grand purpose. And in 1 second, it was like, it was done. It was crumbled. It was over. And so I pretty much got depressed again, and it took a while to come to terms with it. And when I did, I made the decision to live fully for God and what the Father wanted me to do. And so I made the decision to convert to Orthodox Judaism, because at the time I felt that Orthodoxy was the most purest form of Judaism. And if you don't know, there's a lot of sects. There's Hasidic, Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, Renewal, or Reconstructionist. And that's it, I think. There's only those six. Yeah. But yeah, at the time, if a person does not convert to Orthodox, they don't count as actual Jews in Israel. So my thinking was, I want to go to the Holy Land. I want to be Jewish. I want to, you know, maybe live in Israel one day. And my best bet is to convert Orthodox, so therefore I can be considered Jewish no matter where I go, versus converting Conservative or Reform. They will count me as Jews, but Orthodoxy won't. And there's a lot of stuff within Judaism, you know, their own inner arguments that they have about who's a Jew and who's not. But I wanted to be safe, be safe and sorry, so Orthodoxy was it for me. Still kept on the head covering, the modest dress. I broke it to my parents that I did not believe in Jesus, and I tried to show them why. For a long time, I mean, they weren't like, they still love me, of course, and they said so, but it was like, I love you, but you're going to hell, you know, it was that kind of thing. And my brother and I would still have debates and stuff, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. I think the thing that really got to me was the constant prayers every day, the ritualistic life. So here is the, I'm gonna like shed some light on the inner workings of a Jewish life here. I would wake up as soon as I open my eyes. I would say, I would say a Hebrew prayer. Moda ani lefanecha, lechai bekayam, shechazat debi nishmati, b'chem navra b'munatecha. And basically I would be like, thank you, God, for putting my soul back into my body. I would get out of bed. I would go to the bathroom and I would have a ritualistic wash cup. And that was for washing my hands 3 times each. Three times. Because it was believed that uncleanliness would be stuck in the hands or whatever. So I would do that 3 times and I would go about my day. Brush my teeth, wash my face, whatever. And then I would go back in my room and I would say a specific set of prayers. And it was a very long set of prayers. But I would do this 3 times a day. Okay, yeah, I was in college at this time. And even in college, I would say these prayers. So it took a toll because it's like when you're trying to become overly ritualistic with stuff, it kind of loses its spontaneity. It loses the touch that I wanted so much. They were beautiful, don't get me wrong. It was a beautiful lifestyle, but it kind of lost its soul. So I wasn't really feeling connected and I wasn't feeling God anymore, really. But I knew that's what I wanted. I mean, that's right. That's what I had to do, right? I had so many books on, well, I bought this one book off Amazon, Converting to Orthodox Judaism. And I had a lot of books on the Shabbat, keeping kosher. Oh my God, keeping kosher. God, that was difficult. So before then, I would be eating pork or whatever. And when I got to Messianic, I would, you know, because we're trying to keep the Old Testament, I stopped eating a lot of foods. I stopped eating pork and shellfish and certain types of other fish. Got to Judaism. My God, it was worse. It was, I'm not saying I hated it. I really liked it. But at the same time, it was just a lot to take in. I mean, just imagine a whole dictionary full of stuff and rules and regulations that you can, what you can and cannot do regarding food. So I became a vegetarian because of this, because Trader Joe's was the only place that I knew of that sold kosher chicken and kosher beef. And that was a far, far away place from where we lived. And I didn't drive at the time. So it was like, I didn't want to keep bothering my parents to take me to Trader Joe's just for some chicken. And I became vegetarian. And, you know, I got kosher food when I could. A lot of stuff was not kosher, so I had to cut that out, like bread, mayonnaise, and all the stuff. Well, actually, mayonnaise is kosher. Yeah, man, it's kosher. Cheese, definitely. If it had rennet, gelatin, anything with a pig in it, I was not eating. And there was, if I wanted to have meat, then I would have to Well, if I wanted to eat like chicken and then I wanted to have dairy, I couldn't eat both of those combined. I had to wait 6 hours in between each eating. Because, you know, if you eat meat, it takes a long time to digest versus if you eat something like a vegetable. And I just wouldn't eat unkosher meat at all. I mean, I even did a paper on this in college, where kosher animals are killed more humanely than unkosher animals. And if they were slaughtered in a kosher way, it was more humane than, say, let's say halal or something else. And I got a B plus, but I actually still kind of hold to that though, because there's a lot of science behind it. For me, anyway, I take that as evidence. And I mean, I eat meat now. It's not kosher, but organic at least, right? So, let's see. Let me tell you some other stuff. That comes to food. Can't eat them combined. Can't eat meat and dairy combined. That's what I didn't do, and I could only eat certain fish. Salmon was okay. Cod, not. Basically, bottom feeding type animals that ate off the sea floor or whatever. Crabs, shrimps, clams, oysters, all that stuff I didn't eat. And I still don't eat, really. Definitely pork. I still don't eat porky. Porky. And what else? Oh, so when it came to Shabbat. Oh no, actually, I'm skipping something. Let me go back and talk about kashering pots and pans, because that's what I did. If I got a new set of pot and pan, or if the pot has been used, or if the utensil has been used for cooking unkoshered food, I would have to boil it for a certain amount of time and reboil it until it was considered kashered. And that just means it's now clean for kosher use. So I did that with a lot of stuff. I had different sets of knives, one for vegetables, one for meat, one for dairy. And so now you kind of have an image about how my life went. For Shabbat, there was no cooking at all, no warming up food at all for Shabbat. No electronics. I tried to stay off of social media or TV or anything like that, and I would just study the Tanakh. And that's pretty much how my life went for a year and a half, 2 years. And this is also kind of around the time I went vegan because, like I said, getting kosher meat was just annoying, and a lot of the stuff was unkosher. So, I mean, I just pretty much went vegan because of that. Kind of had a brain fart. Let's see, Shabbat, and yeah, that's how my life went for like 2 years. And then so I started feeling like it was kind of soulless. And the spark kind of just left from all the rituals. And And coupled with the fact that my boyfriend did not want to convert. And because if I were to convert, I couldn't be with him anymore. Because Jews marry Jews. And I wanted my kids to be Jewish. Therefore, I had to convert. It was so complicated. And when I'm explaining this to you guys, it's just like, you know, it seems like a lot, but it was actually more emotionally draining at the time. I'm just giving you the highlights of it. But he didn't want to convert, and yeah, that coupled with a lot of stuff, it was just like, should I really do this? Should I not do this? Blah, blah, blah. Then I kept questioning too. I kept searching for the truth. And my searching led me to the ancient alien theory, the Anunnaki. Creating humans, human hybrids. And then, I mean, I'm just looking at this theory, quote unquote. It's not really a theory because, you know, it's not true. Like, it hasn't been proven. But I'm looking at this idea like, this kind of makes sense comparing, you know, what the Bible says from Genesis, saying when God said, let us make man in our image. And, you know, Christianity would interpret that as like, yeah, God, the Father was talking to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And Judaism interprets that as the royal we. And I think that's stupid though. And I'm looking at the Hebrew like Elohim is plural for gods. The Hebrew word is plural for gods. And putting two and two together didn't make sense. So I was like, the one thing that brought me out of Judaism, I think, really really sealed the deal was I was laying in bed. I have no idea what time it was. It was like two in the morning. I get these thoughts, but laying in bed, or I was sitting, I don't know. But I thought to myself, wait a minute, if the Torah is, you know, if the Jews are God's chosen people, then what about aliens? And I know it sounds stupid, but the simplest question brought me out of a religion. And it's like, obviously, there's life everywhere in the universe. It's not just us. And how can a God only have a select people on this dinky little planet that he chose, and everybody else is just, you know, on their own or whatever? It didn't make sense to me. And so, I didn't tell anyone for a while about how I felt about this. They all still assumed that I was Jewish, or converting to Judaism. And I did kind of call myself Jewish too, so they all still assumed that about me. I'm not quite sure what happened next with this. My memory's fuzzy here. I don't know how I broke it to him or anything like that. But I do remember having these little mini Bible studies with my parents and pointing this out to them. And so I just kept doing that. I really don't know what happened next. Give me a minute. Let me think here. So, well, yeah. That's pretty much what happened with that. I never converted. Because of the ancient alien idea, it kind of threw a curveball in my life again, because I was so emotionally invested and I had the purpose. I had a purpose and I had a goal. And because of this stupid ancient alien theory, now it brought in this whole new possibility that I never considered, and I broke down again. What I thought was true was not true. Also, the fact that the Old Testament did not come from Jews. Imagine that. Text from the Old Testament is just a bunch of texts from different cultures, and mainly the Sumerian culture. And that's where the Sumerian talk a lot about the Anunnaki. And that's why I kind of lean toward that theory. It just opened my eyes to a whole new possibility that I got depressed. I question, like, is Yahweh the only God now? Are there multiple gods? Because the Old Testament, I'm looking in it, and it's talking about, paganism. It's talking about polytheism, how the Hebrews believed in multiple gods at the time. And the Levites believed in Yahweh, and the Levites were the ones who brainwashed everyone into believing this one God. And Yahweh was actually a Canaanite God combined with another deity. And even in the Zohar, which is the mystical Jewish texts, they talk about how Yahweh has a consort. He has a wife called Asherah. And Asherah was an ancient goddess. Or they also call her Shekinah. And today Jews call the Holy Spirit Shekinah. And for Shabbat, they welcome the Shekinah. And all this stuff, and I'm just like, how did I not see this? And I was brainwashed. I was duped again. This is crazy. I'm going to step back from religion. But I didn't exactly step back from religion. I became a pagan. I got into nature worshiping. I got into the goddess worshiping. So I still believed in a higher power, just that it was a she, not a he. And this went on for a few months. Then I kind of morphed into a pantheist, a panentheist, and a polytheist all at one time. And if you can imagine the sheer amount of emotion that I had during this time, it was crazy. But it was like, God is everywhere. God is within us, and yet God is outside of the universe, outside of time. And all these deities are just different forms that she takes. And blah, blah, blah. And I was okay with that for a while. But there was just still something within me that I just needed to know more truth. And I got the book called The Cosmic Mother. It's a good read. If you like history and all that stuff, and if you want to know how the divine feminine got smothered by patriarchy and all that crap, then I suggest you read it. Who is honking their horn right now? Well, shut up. And so I was totally into that for a while, and I was making goddess statues. This is kind of when my creativity came alive again, and I really enjoyed doing that. And this is also around the time, 2015, when I started doing, when I started up my first business. I got into the crystals, crystal healing, making gemstone jewelry, and magic, witchcraft, all that stuff I got into. It was jumbled all up in there around that time. And then I got more into the nature-y side again, animism. And I kept going back and forth within this realm of paganism. I did the Wheel of the Year, celebrated that, and, you know, anything pagany that you could think of, I probably did. And yet it didn't feel like it was me. Because now my brain is like, this is how I felt. Like, this is it, you know? This is it? This is all? There has to be more. There has to be something else. And my soul kept searching. And I guess my religious side still yearned for that connection. So I attempted to make prayer books. And I attempted to pray and to connect with an external deity. And I wasn't really finding it too much. Hera jumped out at me. And I worked with Hera for a while. And then she left me, as they say in paganism, the goddess left. And then another goddess came, and it was Freya. And I loved Freya so much. Freya was my lifesaver, in a way, too. Because I relied so much on her strength. And I was just totally in love with Freya. Freya was like my everything at the time. And she saved me from a lot of stuff. But again, I was looking for that external connection. And so I started doubting all of this, you know, because then I wasn't feeling Freya anymore. And I was like, is she even real? And then I kind of got to a point where I am currently with that, you know, these gods are really not real. They're archetypes. And I sort of became atheist at this time. And my depression brought me to atheism. And atheism, agnostic, you know. But I was still trying so hard to fit everything together, fit all of these ideas together. And I was searching so much for validation. I would scour YouTube and the web to find other people who had similar beliefs than me, you know? I would be like, typing up, I'm a witch but an atheist, or spiritual atheist, or something like that. And I would find a couple people, a couple YouTubers was Anya Orga. she's like, her views dang it, my time is almost up. Okay, let me do this real quick. Her views were pretty much in line with mine at the time, and they kept flowing, and it was so interesting to see her views kind of evolve from where she was from the time that I found her. And, you know, but she was a pantheist, but an atheist, and all these labels. And then I found another woman, Kelly Ann Maddox, on YouTube, and she helped me too. And something that she said that I think Stephen Hawking said was that pantheism is just sexed up atheism, which I kind of agree with. So, but I was still searching for this validation to be like, is it okay for me to have these beliefs? And I guess at the time, I wasn't ready because I fell back into believing an external deity again, or I fell back into this safe cocoon that I didn't want to leave. I wasn't ready yet. And so in the next episode, I will continue this story. If you have listened up to this point, thank you so very much. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye. Hello, hello. Welcome back to part two. Hopefully this will not be as long as the first part, but I don't know. So, I left off telling you about how I fell back into the comforting beliefs that I had previously before I was an atheist. And I think it's because I couldn't find enough courage within myself to step out into that new belief that I had. Because with my other changes in religion, I had sources to back me up. I had quote unquote proof. You know, I had the Bible to back me up and what I was saying and my interpretation of it. And I had all these other people that say the same thing to back up what I believed. And when it came to this spiritual atheism, at the time, I didn't have any of that. I had a few people I found on YouTube, but everybody else within spirituality pretty much had, I mean, spirituality is its own religion. Let's be real here. Spiritual people pretty much all believe the same thing. You know, a higher power, the universe loves you. It wants to be your personal Santa Claus. And you are worthy. Live your best life now. All that kind of stuff. All the major overarching concepts that spirituality can offer you. That is pretty much the rules and regulations of that religion, of spirituality being a religion. And so I didn't have any, I was trying to come out of that, but I didn't have any foundation to build with. So I fell back. And during a meditation, I remember posting about this, and I said, I saw something in my meditation, and now I believe in something again. And I wasn't lying. I'll tell you what I saw. I saw Freya. Freya came to me And it was a very powerful experience. But did she really come to me? Or was that just my fears coming out and trying to comfort me? I'm trying to comfort myself. You know, this is why I tell people, when you meditate, side note, when you meditate, and you got all your little crystals hanging around you, you got your nice little om music playing and all that stuff, you're creating a comfort box, and that's not going to help you evolve. That's just you being comfortable and relaxing. That's not meditating. Meditating is facing your fears and coming to terms with your demon. Anyway, so I did all that. I got more into love and light. I got more into law of attraction, manifesting. And, you know, the concept is all well and good. But when it comes down to it, it was just, it's fake as bleep. That's what I'll say. Everybody is so fake in there. Everybody is running around with happy smiles. And it's disgusting to me, really. It's disgusting. I think of the game We Happy Few. If you don't know that game on the PS4 or you know, PC, whatever. We Happy Few. Look that game up. And that's essentially what current Western American spirituality is. Take your joy. So, I instantly felt the fakeness. I mean, I try to be positive. I'm trying to be a positive person. But the amount of positivity was scary. And sickening and disgusting. And that's not who I am. I'm not this overly, oh, the universe blessed me so much today. I'm not that person. If you were hoping that I was that person, I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm not that person. I will never be that person. Do I get happy? Yes, I get happy. Do I sometimes get overjoyed with something? Yes, I do. But come on. That's not our natural state, guys. And so I tried to be this. I tried to be this way. It was not working for me. And I went through that for quite some time. Until I was just like, screw it. I don't want to do this anymore. So I suppose you could say at this time I got depressed again. I'm not sure. Again, my memory's kind of hazy around this because I mishmash so many things together. It's hard to kind of pull it apart and say when I did which thing. But I know for sure that I got depressed, and I really became hardcore atheist. Like, I left everything behind and I became a nihilist. And I had nothing to live for. A nihilist is just like, what's the point of everything? I hate it. But out of that came something great. It really brought out my the side of me that was not so fluffy. It was, you know, atheism is for realists. for logical people. And it really grounded me. You know how in spirituality, people tell you to get grounded? You need to get grounded and all that stuff. Well, atheism was my grounding. Atheism grounded me. And it forced me to see the cold, hard truth of everything. And I do not regret being an atheist at that time. Even though the quote-unquote negative side of it was nihilism. But that was just me, my own doing. And then after that, I suppose I just wanted to bring myself out of it. And I started getting into energy work. And trying to find some sort of something that sparked me again. And I kind of fell back into the deity worship for a short amount of time. Didn't last long. Because that wasn't for me anymore. And then I did the Reiki, got certified. I did crystal healing, got certified. And it was all right for a little while. It was fine. And then I found groups on Facebook, you know, that could help me build up my practice, because then I saw people could do this, you know, for a living. And so I was like, okay, cool. what I was doing was really helping people. But in the back of my head, you know, I was kind of teetering now. I was like, I'm agnostic. And I have no idea about this energy stuff, but it's working because people are telling me it's working. And I don't know. I'm just going to go with it. So I was also still doing my crystal stuff, my business. And then after finding out some more stuff, I stopped doing that because it's not about the crystals. It's about the color. For you guys out there who want to research more, just telling you, it's not about the crystal. It's about the color. So, I don't actually remember how exactly I stumbled upon the left-hand path. I really don't. It's not coming to me right now. Like, how did I find these people? I'm trying to think. I don't know. I don't know how the name came up, but I found my way to the left-hand path. And it has really grounded me in a very stable way. And I would say that my eyes have been opened. Like, I don't know, the left-hand path is so atheistic. And yet it's so positive, but critical at the same time. It's all about self-mastery. It's all about self-deification, becoming a god. And that doesn't mean, you know, god in the sense that, oh, I'm going to control the world. No, it's about becoming your own god, becoming your own master. And this path has totally resonated with me. And it's a very highly individualistic path, too. So there are no books. that are required to be read. There's no specific creed to follow. It's a philosophy of self-mastery, self-deification, and that is it. And however you practice this on this particular path is up to you. And yes, black magic is involved, quote unquote black magic, but I feel like this is so my style. At the time, I felt like, okay, this is it. This is it. I feel like I'm at home. And then after that, I got my DNA tested. Come to find out that I am partially Jewish. And maybe that's why the calling to Judaism was so strong, because in Judaism they say that, you know, if somebody's reincarnated with a Jewish soul, if you're Jewish in a past life, then, you know, you're going to be called home. And so I had this belief in the back of my head. I wasn't really thinking about it, but it was there. And so I felt emotionally compelled to honor my Jewish ancestors, or honor my ancestors in general. Like, I still wanted that spiritual connection. And it wasn't working for the Jewish ancestor part. It wasn't working at all. It was like, I tried to light Shabbat candles for him. I tried to do this. And I would have these crazy, wacky dreams of me going back to Judaism. But that's because I was emotionally confused. And I wanted to, I still had this issue with wanting to be connected with people and wanting to have validation and belonging in a community sense. So I had to work on it, and I can tell you now that I, as far as I know, I have cleared that block. But, and that, because of this entire journey, it has brought me back to what I should have stuck with in the beginning, which was occultism, and continuing on that particular path that I was on in the first place. But I can't say it's wasted time, because I learned a lot, and I learned how to come into my own being. To be myself, essentially. And now, here I am, pretty much. I have gone through a lot of stuff, and I learned a lot of stuff. And this is what I do now. I help people. I don't like to use that word help at all, because I feel like each individual helps themselves. If they accept my offer, then they help themselves. If they decline, it's still on them. But I don't know. That's just me. But I teach people now to get out of this religious mindset. No. Because I could have learned all this stuff without going through that, to be honest. It's quite possible to do that. And if I just stuck initially with what I enjoy doing, then I could have been farther along. And all that. But those are like shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And my mom said, never say that like that. There's no point in crying over spilled milk. It's done. But I'm here now, and now you have heard my entire journey. I don't think I left anything out. My family, I don't think most of my family knows that I am on the left-hand path. They don't know that I'm atheist for sure right now. Maybe my sister does. Maybe. But I don't really talk to them about this anymore. There's only a select few people who I tell. But yeah, I mean, that's my journey. That's what I've been through. And I don't know, maybe you got something out of this. Some encouragement to be your own person, be your own master. Don't follow anybody. And as easy as that is to say, it's still hard because society is made to society has made people to be followers instead of leaders. Indoctrinated. Most everybody is a sheep and not a wolf. And wolves are trying to be sheep. So I hope you got some encouragement out of this. Don't look for validation, you know. Be sure within yourself. I don't go scouring the internet anymore for people who believe like me. Because I am finally at that place where I'm ready to accept that I don't believe in God. I don't believe in a higher power. I am God. I am my own higher power. And I mean, that's pretty much it. If you didn't get anything out of this, at least you probably enjoyed my story. So, that's something. But, thank you for listening. And maybe I'll make another podcast. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. Bye.